Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johns coming to you live from upstairs studio. In studio with me is a Slinky Dog laying under the desk. His cancer is gone. His dissolving stitches are just about out of his nose. And it's just a delightful day for Slinky Dog. Not in studio is Tasha Johnson downstairs at Explorations Early Learning Intergalactic Headquarters, dining room, mess hall. Let's call it the mess hall of Intergalactic Headquarters. And
aloha.
I, via the Zoom meeting platform, Emma Tempest, the play coach.
Hello. I can't do that now.
Coming to us live from Arkansas. Emma, we're talking about self-care in this episode, because I know that's something you like to write about and talk about. Where do you want to jump into the topic?
I think for me personally, going back to the burnout factor. Mm-hmm. I remember in England having stress. I remember having children with really specific behaviors who it was hard work, but I don't ever remember feeling burned out. And I think for me, the key to it was not only a bit of self-care, but I think it was the people that I worked with, the team that we had and the team we created, because you can't just lump people in a room and expect them to get along. And I'm not saying you have to make them get along, but we specifically did things, not cheesy like, oh, let's go team building in a forest and, you know, whatever. But we did specific things, like we would go out on nights out. We'd go out for dinner. We'd meet up at coffee shops. Even though I don't drink coffee, but it's that thing of, I just feel like there's that side of self-care. Anybody can go on Google and Google playvolution.com and find my blog and find my writings about, oh, maybe, you know, take a bath. Oh, maybe, I don't know, get a massage or go get your nails done. Have you done your nails today, Jeff?
No, I haven't done my nails in decades.
So you missed a good opportunity then, because this is a podcast. Nobody would have known. You could have been like, yes, look at them. They're all beautiful.
But I've got things to do.
But yeah, I just feel like there's more to it than get some sleep, eat healthy. If it was that easy, everybody would do it. And I think for teachers, especially, the key to having that well-being language in your head, it needs to come out in your classroom. You need to have it in your classroom so that that is not a place of stress that causes you to then burn out.
Well, yeah, that'd be great. And
thanks, Jeff. You're so encouraging.
Well, I mean, I totally agree, but people don't do it.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. And people don't do it. And I'm on a mission to try and work out, like, what is wrong with America?
Well, I don't think it's just America, because I've spent a lot of time in Canada and Australia, and it's a problem there. And I'm guessing there might be a program or two in the UK that that might have some turnover problems and some burnout problems and those kind of things as
Totally. I think for me personally, the difference was, and I've had other people tell me this, so this isn't just my point of view. The difference for me was our classroom of early childhood people felt different to the school classrooms, where everybody was split into year groups, or they'd be split into, they have two key stages. So they have key stage one, which is up to 7 year old, and then key stage two up to 11. And the early years people were the 3 to 5 year old gang. And I just think, I would love to know what it was that made it so homely and family orientated, and all the things that we want, all the things we want in a classroom. You know, and when we talk about setting up for the school year, going back to school, you want a nice family home environment where, you know, everybody's welcome, and it's not just a slogan that you see on the door. You want parents to come in and talk to you whenever they want. What is it about schooling that makes people not able to create that environment? Is it burnout? Is it just the hat's not in the in it in the first place? Like, I just don't get it. And I think because I can't empathize, because I've never been in an environment that's toxic until I moved here, I just don't get it.
Excuse me. Hey, Slinky Dog, people can be outside.
He's stressing.
Literally, children went by the house and made happy noises, and Slinky Dog is growling because he's protecting me. He's a fucking grouchy old man. He's like two. So I think first, I don't think it's just an early learning or education problem. I think it's a fact that people are miserable.
But why?
It's not a just this profession thing. I think there are nurses that are miserable, and doctors that are miserable, and pharmacists that are miserable, and people that don't work in the health professions, like waitresses and waiters and cooks and bus drivers and everybody else. There's just a huge percentage of people who are miserable because they don't make time for things that they find joyful or fulfilling or pleasant in their lives.
No, but I understand that. I'm trying to relate it to the fact that the early childhood world has people who understand development, who understand play, who understand that early childhood education isn't just about education, it's about child. So do we need to, what we want in our classrooms for children, it sounds like the people who are miserable don't make time for that in their own lives even.
It's always easier to preach than it is to do. So
I'm not denying that. I feel like I'm on a mission to find what that was that I had back in England and somehow bottle it and then sell it to the people who make the laws in this country about schooling so we can change it.
Maybe what you had there was luck.
No, I don't want to believe that.
Well, it doesn't matter what you want to believe. I mean, the cold hard facts are maybe you just happened to work in a place where everything clicked for a while.
But and it that didn't. Doesn't. It was hard. And we, you know, we had all the fallouts and the arguing and the, oh, she's done this and she's done that. But it was always through a love of the children and wanting to do better by them. I just don't see that a lot anymore. It's always just bitching and being mean girls.
Luck.
No!
What better explains it? How long have you been trying to figure out the magic formula?
Like 3 years.
Okay, well, How's that going?
Not very well, apparently.
Isn't there a chance that, you know, it just happened to the right people?
No,
it can't be that, huh?
Okay. No, I don't believe in fate and luck.
Okay.
Because if I do, then that doesn't help anybody here.
We'll call it luck, then we'll call it chance.
No, that's even worse.
The roll of the dice.
No. Jeff, this is not a pleasant experience for me right now.
I'm sure. It's very pleasant for me. Slinky Dog is licking my arm right now.
Have you asked your co-workers, your former co-workers over in England, what they think made it work? And
in like casual conversation, mainly when I was off work with depression and anxiety and needed to kind of hear nice things about myself. But that's a good idea.
Perfect time to ask.
What?
That was the perfect time to ask.
Oh, hell yeah. But yeah, I might do that actually, Tasha. That's a good idea. I might do it.
Yes.
Interviewing. Because like literally this tattoo, oh, this is great podding, by the way. This tattoo is me and my two teaching assistants, and we all have the same one because we became.
Well, there you go.
From it. But I'm not saying you have to be friends.
Did you get the tattoos after dark?
No, we've got them in the sand area. That's cool. No, we didn't.
It was after dark. Was there, I know the English are not known for drinking, but was there alcohol involved?
No, there was not.
So you're all completely sober when you got the matching tattoos?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's probably a good thing. What if you go to interview these former coworkers where everything was magical and fairyland and good?
No, that's the thing, Jeff. It wasn't all magical and fairyland and rainbows and unicorns, but a lot of it was. Like, a lot of our days were fun in spite of the top-down pressure, in spite of people coming in and judging what we were doing rather than asking me about it. So people would come into the classroom and you'd see them like, you know, judging what was on the displays or trying not to stand in the Lego that was strewn all over the floor. But we knew it had a purpose and I'm confident to talk about it, but that it wasn't all rainbows and butterflies and happy, 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 but a lot of it was. Maybe it's a personality thing.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, probably. Have you talked to them? Did they all agree it was like that?
I don't know now. I think so. You're making me doubt my whole, like, existence. Well,
you're welcome.
Well, it sounds like you had a good support system with everybody. I mean, you could have your bad days, but you had your excellent moments, and you all kind of were on the same page.
Right. And even when we weren't, because at the start, when I moved into that room, we were split. We shared the same space with the nursery children. So we had all the threes and then all the fours and fives together in the same room. But we were separate because we were school and they were the nursery class. So they had a different people to talk to. They had different funding, all that kind of stuff. And we were school, but we had to work together. And that was hard. But again, it was worth it because we all were part of the team. We all relied on each other, and we all, you know, if somebody was annoyed with someone because, you know, she said this or she did that, we sorted it out. Whereas my experience here is that it just lingers and carries on and it doesn't get resolved ever. And that just creates that
tension.
Horrible tension, yes. On it, and then they wonder why the kids are acting out or doing something that stresses them out more. And I'm like, it's because you're stressed. They feed off of it.
Mm-hmm. Is it because you're a foreigner?
I don't know. No. You laugh, but this is me having like a mental breakdown because I felt so alienated. Because I'd say things I'd say back in England about, I don't know, say if it was Nap time, by the way, is a whole new world for me. That freaked me out. Everybody's being quiet in the dark for an hour and a half.
That sounds delightful.
But yeah, if at nap time somebody was, you know, getting up and running around and they were telling them to lay down and be quiet, and then the kid was like, nope, not going to happen, I'd go over to them and help them, or I'd read a book, or just talk to them, or just do all the things I know. Even though I've never done nap time before, I had good child development knowledge to know how to help them. And then by playing with them when they were awake and getting to know them, I could think of things personal to them to help them. And I'd just get treated like, literally, like you said, like a foreigner, like I was an alien. What's she doing with that kid? She doesn't need to be over there. And I had people tell me that. I had people say, oh, you don't need to sit with him. I don't need to. He needs me to. I'm getting angry now, Jeff. Put my angry.
It sounds like some of them might have been jealous of you that you were able to do this, relate to the children, and instead of, you know, asking, hey, how do you do this? You know, what's your knowledge? They just decided to be the. No, they decided to play the mean girl and, you know, and.
But that's the thing. I have some, like, I've made some friends here now. Like, one of the assistants I had, she told me, and I don't know how true this is, she said to me, oh, I've learned more from you in 2 months than I did at college. And I'm like, how? How do you not know basic things? And I have a degree. I have a bachelor's degree. So I was there for 4 years. But even so, some of it is like, really? Do you not know this?
So when there's that conflict, nap time or whatever, between that program and the one you left in England, what's the dynamic for dealing with that? Because it sounded like you had those things came up in the first program, but then there is a group dynamic or structure that allowed you to have those conversations and deal with those things and move on, where the second program you describe sounds like that structure didn't exist. So what's the difference structurally?
I think, just off the top of my head, I think having a weekly staff meeting that isn't just, let me tell you all these things that I could have told you in an email.
Exactly.
Not necessarily waiting until a staff meeting to talk about stuff. So, you know, that 5 minutes chat might completely fix something that you think would have taken an hour. And I think being honest with each other, but not necessarily to the point of being brutally honest. So I know that when I was a newly qualified teacher, you have to do like a year's worth of school before you can be fully left alone to do all your thing. I was in the 5 and 6 year old class, and I remember in my interview for the job saying how I wanted to implement early years into this class. And I remember the teaching assistant that I had was amazing. She would listen to everything I said. She would give anything a go. And I'd say to her, if you think this is not going to work, please tell me, because you know this age of kids better than I do, because I was the early years person. So I think having somebody to bounce ideas off and to be vulnerable with is a huge part of it, and a huge part of your self-care. If you can't go to work and say, hey, I don't know what to do about this, you're not going to get anywhere. You need to have that courage. And well, it's not even courage. We shouldn't, I guess that's that. It's me, Jeff, you're getting in my head, because now I'm seeing the bad of everything.
You're welcome.
You're like, you know, like when you have an angel and a devil on your shoulder, I have like a Lisa and a Jeff right now.
I hope I'm the devil.
All the life out of me. No, but I do think, I don't know. I really do need to ask them, Tasha. I think you're right. But I think having that, when we talk about culture of childhood, like Heather has done in the Early Childhood Nerd podcast with Lisa, it's a culture thing. It's a culture of, you know, you can say, oh, we're a team, we're a school family, we're here to help you. But if that director's door is closed, or if when you go to that director and they don't do anything, or they appear to not do anything, if they're not telling you what their intentions are or how they're going to help you fix a problem, you just feel alone. You just feel like it's everybody against you.
Well, and yeah, and you got to put some of it on yourself too, because sometimes choosing to feel alone is one way to respond, and then asking more questions, and it's all the interplay of personalities.
Definitely.
It's all group dynamics, and that's why, like I said earlier, a lot of that is random, and a lot of people will end up in programs where everything clicks because the right group of people who are in the right place in their professional career happen to be together at the same time, and things click and it feels good and it works. Other places make that happen because there's at least one person there who pays attention to the group dynamics and the culture of that program, not really the culture of childhood, but the program's culture, and nurtures that and grows it and has fucks to give about it. Mm-hmm. But at least one person, and usually it takes more than one person, has their mind put on that program culture. It's very unlikely that kind of growth that's going to happen, that could happen, is going to happen.
I just think it's very easy for programs to say, everybody's welcome here, and we have wonderful teachers, and come and see our beautiful classrooms. It can all be for show. And what they actually say and do needs to reflect that.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, the words are always easier than actions.
Right.
And it's about making those things happen. If we talk about this as an early learning program where we listen and we're respectful and we take people's needs into consideration while we're making decisions, and that's not happening with the staff, it's of course not going to be happening with the kids. And so it's all about finding a goodness of fit. And it sounds like the first program you were talking about in the UK, there was a goodness of fit there for you and probably some other people in the program at that time. And I mean, that fit is hard to find. And over the years, I visited lots of programs, and I've only seen that in probably maybe half a handful of programs.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a sad reflection on the state of the profession, but it's also a reflection on how hard it is to do that work, the work of relationships and the work of team building and the work of building a program culture, I guess.
Well, I guess that's kind of where my play coach stuff comes in.
Yeah.
Because I just kind of want to make it a mission to the naysayers such as yourself, Jeff, who think it's all chance and random. I want to somehow influence people to see that there is a better way of dealing with those things that drag you down, those feelings that, you know, when I nearly used her real name then, when so and so when so and so doesn't turn up to work or falls asleep in her car at lunch, instead of just getting angry and stressed and annoyed by it, there are different skills that you can learn that I can teach you that help you deal with that, so that always at the forefront of your mind is the effect it's going to have on the children. Because the self-care part of it, if you're not doing that for you, you can't do it for the children, because you won't be in that right frame of mind.
And another piece of that is nobody else can do it for you.
Yes, exactly. I can help you, but I can't do it for you.
That's right. It's I mean, there are people that they put off change or self-care or career change or eating better or exercise or whatever it is, because they're waiting for the perfect time and they're waiting for the stars to align or whatever it is. And nothing changes unless you take a step and start making change.
That's right.
You can't wait around for somebody else to do it. You can't wait for your sweetie pie to do it or your neighbor or your co-teacher. You have to be proactive about making the change you want or need in your life.
That's right.
And there's people out there like Emma who will give you advice on that. I've done a little bit of that over the years. And the thing is, it just isn't going to happen unless you decide it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that sometimes realizing, like, I remember when I had all my time off work, I had everybody I knew saying to me, "You got this, you can handle it. You're amazing. I believe in you." And I didn't believe them. And it took me working out what happened to me and the part I played in it, and having that reflection of, this was my fault because of this, this, and this. So taking that responsibility, I guess. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just all, you know, this program or this person or this whatever. And I always try and say, even though my situation is very unique in that I literally moved to another country, I try and compare it to kids' first day at school. You're in a foreign country. You don't know anybody. It's scary. And there's this super tall person with a grown-up voice that you've never heard before telling you to do things that don't make sense. And why should you do that? And then if you ask them why, they either punish you or don't listen to you or give you some bullshit reason that doesn't even make sense. But because you're in the role of the child, you have to do what they say. And that's the closest I can get to relating how I felt. I was saying, well, why do we have to do this at nap time? Why do we have to come in at this time? And I was just getting answers that were, well, because we do. And I just kept thinking, if I was a child and asking this, that wouldn't be enough for me. Mm-hmm. But I'm a grown up and asking this, and this is not enough for me. And then I guess that's where I got burnt out, because I got sick of asking. It was easier to just
And not getting a real answer for why they're doing it.
Well, there are a lot of programs out there that they do things the way they do them because that's the way they've always done them. Mm-hmm. And it is threatening when people come in and start asking questions. So again, it all goes back to that program culture. We've been at this for about half an hour, so it's probably just about time to wrap this one up.
I just have one tiny little thing.
Yeah.
So when Tasha, when you were saying about the whole jealousy thing, I do think a lot of what Jeff just said about being intimidated and threatened. And I just think it's so sad that if, as an educator, somebody does something different to you and it produces a different result, the last thing you should feel is threatened. You should be like, oh, what did you do? Tell me more. I want to know how you did that so that I can do it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think they might not be in the right frame of mind. They're probably burning out themselves and not realizing it. And
And it all just circles back to that self-care thing again. It's that, it's not a competition. You have to look after yourself first. You just have to.
Oh, definitely.
Or else.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point, Jeff. Don't look after yourself, and then I can come and help you.
Emma will show up with some sun tea and her umbrella and her big bag, and she'll fly down your chimney. I haven't seen Mary Poppins for years. I don't remember. Did you ever date a chimney sweep?
Oh my God.
No. Got some other questions about swearing in the UK, because I think you guys are much better at swearing than Americans. But
hey, I have a story about that for childhood classrooms. One of the kids, I think I asked them about this rule, because I couldn't get an answer. answer out of the person that I was talking to. And they said, oh, it's because of blah, 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 blah. And I went, oh, that's stupid. And they all went, like, stupid was an awful curse word. And they were like, Miss Emma, you said stupid. And I'm like, and? And then I realized it was a bad word. And so I was like, dude, I know so many more bad words than stupid.
You should have taught him. Should have taught him and taught him how to spell them, too. We'll do, at some point, we'll do a just for patrons episode with or audio or video thing with Emma about best UK swear words.
That'll be
a fun thing. That'll be great. Hey, this has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Take care of yourself out there, people, and pay attention to the culture of your program. If things aren't working, look at what you can tweak about the culture of your program, because sometimes you happen to draw a lucky program where everything clicks, and a lot of the time you got to work at it, and probably most of the time you got to work at it, and that's kind of hard, and sometimes you're going to be miserable. And it's going to be time to quit and go find another job. Sometimes you can make it work because there are other people there that have fucks to give and want to make it work with you. But it's just probably never as easy and magical as it is in Mary Poppins movies. I don't know. It's time to end this episode. Anything else?
We good? I dare say anything else, because you're just going to like shit all over it.
You're welcome. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Back soon with another episode. Bye-bye.
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 Oh, now I guess Lisa doesn't need to come back. Finally, somebody did it right.
I did it right last time. It's just me and Tasha said it at the same time.
I know. I'll wait this time and let Emma go first. So then it's like, wait, she's pointing at me, but it looked like it was off to the side. It's like, okay.
Lisa, I miss you. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.